case number 04-1033 et al. EchoStar Satellite LLC petitioner versus Federal Communications Commission et al. Mr. Michaelopoulos for petitioner, Mr. Carr for respondents.
May it please the Court, Panteles Michalopoulos for Dish Network, formerly EchoStar. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time. This case is about, in our view, the FCC's lack of authority to impose encoding restrictions on satellite distributors when the only provision of the Communications Act that governs encoding applies to cable systems. These restrictions are limits to copy protection. They constrain distributors' flexibility to...
I'm sorry, I missed one thing you said. You said when the only provision that governs is what?
Section 624A is what I meant, and it is the only provision that talks about encoding and applies to cable systems only. So the limits at issue here constrain a distributor's flexibility to attract premium digital content from the Hollywood studios. For example, the new James Bond movie on or before the theatrical release date. The limits were imposed on satellite carriers based on private negotiation between two other industries, the cable and the consumer electronics industries, a negotiation in which satellite was not permitted to participate. The main subject matter of that negotiation...
I want to ask you about that, you know, give me the background. Is the reason that the negotiations were for the purpose of making these converter boxes commercially available so that there would be competition? You didn't have to buy it from the cable company. That was the gist of the negotiations. But there was no reason for satellite to be involved in that negotiation because, as I understand it, satellite boxes are already commercially available. Isn't that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, you're correct. The purpose was actually twofold. One was the one you stated. The other one was the one of Section 624A to make sure that digital TVs and cable systems are compatible.
Right.
But once it became an issue, and this became known, that the encoding restrictions as an add-on would become part of that dialogue, the satellite industry asked to participate. The answer was no.
Whose answer? Who gave you that answer?
The industry is participating. I'm assuming the answer came from the cable industry, but the record doesn't reflect. The record reflects that
and
we were asked.
I mean, there's somewhat of a problem. The cable companies are not competing with each other. I mean, that's one of the things that are, you know, you have one cable system. I think there's one place in the country that has two. But they don't compete with each other, but you compete with them. So you get into a meeting and you work out an agreement about how you're going to deal with your boxes and all that. And there may be antitrust implications in that.
In terms of antitrust implications, since we would be petitioning the government, I think we would be immune under the Norr-Pennington doctrine. But in any event, they were an add-on to the main subject, this plug-and-play standard for ensuring compatibility between digital TVs and cable systems without need for a box. And in that add-on, the cable industry saw an opportunity because satellite afforded greater technological protection capability than cable did. So cable said, we will agree to those encoding limits so long as they are imposed on our main competitors. and at the same time gave themselves an out. They said that those encoding restrictions would not apply to programming provided over cable modems, a technology that cable has but satellite does not. Section 624A is the only provision in the Act that governs compatibility between digital TVs and cable systems. It is the only one that governs encoding technologies used by cable operators and limitations to them. But that section is cable-centric. It applies to cable systems, mentions cable no fewer than 21 times, does not mention satellite once. The agency says that such exclusions do not carry significant weight in the administrative setting. But under the case cited by the agency, Martini, the test for determining the weight of such an exclusion is simply whether the legislative draftsman would have likely considered the excluded alternative. Here the answer is, without a doubt, yes. Congress knew of the existence of satellite distributors when it enacted 624A. It coined the term multi-channel video programming distributor, defined the term to include both cable and satellite, and then imposed obligations on both, cable and satellite alike, in many other provisions of the 1992 Cable Act, the same statute that contains Section 624A, but not in Section 624A. And moreover, the preamble to the Act makes clear why Congress wanted to rein in cable operators in particular. It says they had become the dominant medium nationwide, and it wanted to prevent them from exerting undue market power. And so we come to Section 629. That section, the other alleged source of the Commission's authority, asks the Commission to assure commercial availability of navigation devices and other equipment from vendors other than the distributor itself. And there are many problems with the agency's reliance on Section 629. First of all, subsection F says nothing herein shall expand the FCC's authority under communications law. This is word for word the provision that this court interpreted in Comcast in connection with Section 256 as disabling that section from serving as a source of any FCC authority. Next, the FCC argues that those encoding restrictions are an essential component of an agreement whose other provisions help the availability of navigation devices, etc. But if that were enough, then any two private parties could get together, reach an agreement, and attach to it a condition, however extrinsic, and thus expand the scope of an agency's authority. Next, the FCC argues that the absence of the encoding rules would frustrate the expectations of consumers about the copying functions of their devices. This is an argument made on brief, because the order did not defend the agency's authority on that basis. The phrases that the brief cites, for example, paragraph 68 of the order, talk about those consumer expectations, but not to defend jurisdictions, just to say this was the reason why the encoding restrictions are beneficial to consumers.
Can I but take in any you event, back to A, your reading of A and F, you've gone through it pretty quickly. I'm not sure how you reached the conclusion on F so easily. I don't see anything, the Commission's interpretation of A as expanding or limiting any authority that the Commission otherwise has. A is an independent offering, and it says the Commission shall, in consultation with appropriate industry standard-setting organizations, adopt regulations to assure the commercial availability. It's a mandated obligation. It doesn't expand or limit any other authority the Commission has in other provisions of the Act. It is a separate offering. F obviously doesn't reach that. If it did, then F would mean that everything preceding it, A, B, C, D, E, is irrelevant. It makes no sense. This is a separate offering. And that's exactly what we did in the case which you just you did. We didn't even think it was an interesting issue. It never even came up. You say the party didn't argue it. My take on it, there was nothing to argue about.
Yeah. Well, Your Honor, in connection with the relationship between F and A, three things. First of all, the Comcast court did not engage in the inquiry which you just made here. It just said there is this language which is verbatim the same, end of story.
But it's not the same provision. Does it say assure in the Comcast case?
No, but that's...
Well, but that's important.
It did say shall establish procedures for the oversight.
Just procedures, establish procedures. This says in consultation they shall adopt regulations to assure the commercial availability, et cetera, et cetera. That seems to me that's authority granted for specific purposes. You may have a fight over... the reasonableness of it, but it certainly is a grant, and I don't see how F takes that away at all. It would make the statute utterly nonsensical if it did.
I don't think so, Your Honor, for two reasons. First of all, what, in effect, the encoding restrictions imposed on satellite carriers mean is an extension of the obligations imposed on another section, 624A of the Act.
No, I understand how you try. That's the only way you can try and argue this. And what I'm suggesting is another way to read it, which makes some sense of the statute, is 624 gives what it gives. And then Congress enacted 629, which is that's not taking away or adding anything to 624. That is what it is. But 629A is what it is, too.
Yes, I understand the point. I think at a minimum, if one were to entertain this point, one would agree, I think, that F is a narrowing, limiting statutory construction tool. And so if you do...
No. Let me tell you, just so you understand, meaning, no, you're not hearing me. Not all right. What I'm saying, my view of this is, F means, if it's going to make any sense at all, the commission can't say in A, because of what we have in A, we're now going to ignore what is positively stated in 624. We just disagree with it, and we can now go do whatever we want to do. I don't think that's what they've done here. I don't think that's what they purported to do. So 624 states what it states, and 629A gives different authorities. And then the fight may be, are you within the realm of those authorities, but I don't know how you can say 629A authorizes nothing because of F.
No, it doesn't authorize nothing. Okay. It certainly authorizes the rules that the Commission did impose in 1998 and that were approved in general instrument. But those rules did precisely what A wanted the FCC to do. So the FCC's argument also ignores the words of the statute. The statute didn't ask the Commission to assure competitive availability of navigation devices in general, but only from vendors unaffiliated with the distributor. The problem that the FCC wanted to strike at was a simple one. A consumer could not walk in Best Buy a set-top box, then plug in a cable card, and when switching providers, keep that box, change the card. Because cable boxes back then had an integrated conditional access function. But the encoding restrictions here have nothing to do with whether a device is available from the distributor only or from an unaffiliated source as well.
I understand that argument. Is it your position that, to put it in a slightly different way, that applying the encoding rules to satellite systems is not necessary to make converter boxes for satellites commercially available? And the reason is they're already commercially available.
This is correct, Your Honor. It's not necessary.
It is only necessary, according to the Commission, because the Commission is afraid that satellites, if they don't apply these rules to the satellites, they're going to have a competitive advantage.
Yes.
Over cable. And 629 doesn't deal with competitive advantages. It only deals with making the boxes commercially available.
Yes, and the only part of that, of the 92 Act that is with competitive advantage, is the preamble that says cable operators have it, and we need to do something about it. And finally, this argument made by the FCC on brief is inconsistent with the argument made, the rationale in the order for imposing rules on satellite distributors, which was to avoid the creation of a regulatory and marketplace imbalance in favor of the satellite distributor. So without the rules, satellite services, if anything, would become more desirable to consumers, and so would their equipment, and demand for them would be bolstered, not the other way around. The NCTA's comments on jurisdiction are very instructive, because the NCTA, intervening on behalf of the agency, gives the agency a kind of damnation with faint praise, because it disagrees with the FCC on almost everything except the result. It doesn't agree that Section 624A gives authority, ancillary authority, to impose rules on satellite. It does not agree with the broad view of 629A either. It says if the FCC were right, then the FCC could limit prices for equipment, bolstering demand. And it reconciles the result only with a result-oriented approach by saying if Section 629 means anything, then it can extend to satellite obligations imposed by on cable under Section 624. But if Congress wanted to do that, they would have done it much more simply by saying satellite in Section 624A itself. I see I have a few seconds, which I might try to reserve.
It's an interesting interpretation of red.
May it please the Court, my name is James Carr, and I represent the Federal Communications Commission. The Commission's action in this case was supported by its direct authority under Section 629A to adopt regulations to assure the commercial availability of home video recordings from sources other than multi-channel video programming distributors. The reason for that is that without these encoding rules, there would be no retail market for cable-ready devices. Well, because the I'm sorry, Your Honor, go ahead.
Right on that very point.
Yes.
Your but-for argument. If that's the case, does that mean that if we disagree with you and hold that the encoding rules were promulgated without proper authority, that there's a severability question here? That if it's true that you could not have the other regulations without the encodings, then your entire regulatory structure would fall if the encoding rules as applied to satellites were invalid. Is that your position?
Well, I think this agreement between the cable and the consumer electronics industries made clear that their agreement to go forward with the production of these devices depended on encoding rules. Essentially, the consumer electronics industry
said means if the encoding rules fall, they're so intertwined with the plug-and-play rules that the entire regulatory structure should be struck down. That's your argument, isn't it? Because it's, you know, but for the encoding rules, we would have never promulgated the plug-and-play.
Well, the encoding rules were necessary to break this impasse between the industries over the amount of copy protection. And without applying them across the board to all MVPDs, the cable industry would not have agreed to be bound by itself by these encoding rules, because that would give other MVPDs the advantage in terms of gaining access to high-value content. They could offer the Hollywood studios more fulsome content protection that the cable industry could not under the rules. The Commission's concern was to...
I don't think you answered my question. Are the plug-and-play rules severable from the encoding rules? That's the question.
Well, the other rules would stand independently. It's not clear to me, though, that the industry would. It's not clear to me that the industries would continue to to produce these devices if they didn't have the promise of parity in these encoding rules?
Well, they're rules. So if they don't abide by them, then what's the FCC's remedy?
Well, the FCC would have to reconsider if the encoding rules were struck down. The FCC would have to reconsider whether the system would work on its own with the encoding rules applying just to cable.
See, here's the problem I'm driving at, and I know you're just beginning your argument, and the thing that's not clear to me is whether the encoding rules as applied to satellites can, if they're taken away, the rest of the system can stand, not because the industry agrees to it, but because the FCC ordered it. And if that's the case, then it was not necessary under 629 to make these navigation devices commercially available for cable. It wasn't necessary for you to lasso in the satellite.
There's also an alternative theory under Section 624A, that the Commission felt that under 624A, it could only achieve the objectives of that statute. And let me get the text of the statute. In Section B1 of Section 624A, it describes the end goal of the statute as regulations so that cable subscribers will be able to the full benefit of both the programming available on cable systems and the functions available on their televisions and video cassette recorders.
Which, is that the finding you're reading?
That's it's under Section B1. It says report and regulations. Now, it's describing the nature of the report, but if the statute goes on to say the Commission shall issue such regulations as are necessary to assure such compatibility, referring back again to this notion of cable subscribers being able to enjoy the full benefit.
It also talks about video cassette recorders.
It does. And that's right. Obviously, technology has found a way of bypassing these statutes. That's a statute from 1992. But the general point is that the Commission's goal there is to ensure that cable subscribers enjoy the full benefit of the available programming. And the Commission made that point in paragraph 56 of the order, Joint Appendix 456. The end goal is to ensure cable subscribers will be able to enjoy the full benefits of available cable programming, functionality of their televisions and video recorders. Now, the Commission's view was that cable subscribers were not going to be able to enjoy the full benefits of their cable subscription if there was this disparity in the industries, this competitive imbalance between cable on the one hand and non-cable MVPDs on the other. The problem, cable is restricted in the encoding high-value content providers, and all other MVPDs are not. You have the possibility that Hollywood studios, other high-value content, are going to start dealing exclusively with the non-cable MVPDs who can offer more fulsome content. And that was the concern, and there was some discussion of that in the record as well, in the counterstatement in the Commission's. The Hollywood studios were already complaining about this situation and basically saying that if DBS was offering more fulsome copy protection than the cable, they'd be reluctant to deal with the cable industry and offer them the same programming.
Reason why the cable industry just didn't adopt the same encoding system that the satellites had?
Well, again, I think this came down to their negotiations with the consumer electronics industry. The consumer electronics industry made clear that it wasn't going to produce these devices with the copy protection tools that would be used to read the encoding signals unless it received guarantees that consumers were still going to be able to engage in legitimate home copying, the same sort of recording they'd been doing for all these years. Without rules to govern the use of these copy protection tools, as we know it, would effectively be gone. It would be nullified. It would make no sense for the industry to build these devices if it wasn't sure there would even be a market where consumers, if consumers had doubts about whether their home recording devices could be used in the same way they had always been used. And so that was the linchpin to this whole agreement. That was the impasse that the commission was attempting to bring by adopting these encoding rules.
I want to make sure I'm not confused here. There's no question that 629, whatever it means, is not limited just to cable, is it?
That's correct, Your Honor. Section 629A...
can include satellite as well, right?
That's right. Section 629A...
The question is, what does it say?
Section 629A can include and does include, it makes reference to multi-channel video programming distributors, not just cable operators.
The question is really about the sweep of the authority granted.
That's right. I would, this is something that wasn't discussed earlier, that we take the position that the authority issues that DISH is making here have all been waived. We made the point, none of these issues were raised before the commission below. I've looked at the reply brief and the response to our Section 405 arguments in the reply brief. The commission did discuss these issues, but it did not.
405 doesn't say you have to raise it. It just says the commission has to have an opportunity to pass on it. And the commission had an opportunity. In fact, it spent 9 paragraphs passing on it.
It addressed its authority, but it did not address these specific issues because these specific issues weren't raised. In particular, you will search in vain anywhere in the passages DISH cites in the record for a reference to Section 629F. That argument is nowhere to be found. And in any event, we agree with Section 629F. It plainly can't be read to nullify the authority that Congress has plainly granted to the commission. The fight is about what does A mean, and frankly, there was no joining of issue below about what A means in the record below. It simply was not argued. The focus was on other provisions of Section 629 and objections to Section 624A. But these arguments that DISH is raising here simply were not raised before the commission, and the commission didn't get a fair opportunity to address these particular issues.
And the theory is that because the manufacturers and the cable companies said, unless you impose these encoding rules on satellites, TV, then we're not going to produce copy machines. That's the argument, right?
Well, cable was also not going to be agree to be bound by encoding rules all by itself. I mean, both parties had an interest.
The commission can issue an order and bind the cable companies.
Sure.
It cannot issue an order and bind the manufacturers of recording devices, can it?
No, and it wasn't doing that here. But what it was doing was attempting to ensure that there would be competitive parity by extending the encoding rules and ensuring that all consumers who use recording devices are going to have their expectations met regardless of what MVPD to which they subscribe.
What does 629 say about competitive parity?
It doesn't say anything specifically about competitive parity. I think there, again, I go back to Section 624A and the need that the commission felt to ensure that cable subscribers have the full benefit of available cable programming. In the commission's judgment, they would not have that full benefit if the rules did not extend to the DBS providers and other non-cable MVPDs.
Has the commission redefine what a video cassette is?
I don't know that the I'm not sure that the commission's rules even speak to video cassettes anymore.
That's the recording device that 624 talks about.
Yes.
And unless the commission has redefined it, then how does the commission get to the proposition that you'd use 624 to govern encoding and plug and play when it's dealing with an antiquated technology?
I think again the commission is trying to read the language in context, and the understanding is we're talking about home video recording devices.
624 is your alternative backup ancillary authority argument?
That's right.
That's why you've been hesitating and waffling and trying to stay in 629, right?
Well, 629 is the direct authority, and that's yes, and the commission believes that's its strongest ground for action in this case.
I'm still not sure that I understand your argument. You started off by saying the commission's action is directly supported by 629A, but then you said 629 doesn't say anything about competitive parity, which seems to be where you are trying to get using 624A, but I don't quite follow the argument of how congressional concern about the compatibility of devices, cable boxes and TVs, translates into authority to impose competitive parity.
Well, again, it's about cable subscribers enjoying the full benefits of their subscription, of available programming and using televisions and their video recording devices.
Tell me if I'm misunderstanding you in response to this. I thought you were trying to argue that it says you have to adopt regulation to assure commercial availability, blah, blah, blah. You can't do that without competitive comparity is what you're saying, competitive parity.
Well, that's right. The parties are not the parties to that agreement, the cable industry and the consumer electronics industry, were not going to reach agreement on this copy protection.
Judge Brown, is that?
Yes.
Competitive parity is there because if we don't have that, we can't assure commercial availability.
It's there, even though it's not specifically stated in the statute, because it's essential to assuring competitive availability, because availability, because the consumer electronics industry and the cable industry were not going to agree to go forward with the creation of this retail market. The manufacturers simply weren't going to produce these devices without these guarantees, without the encoding rules. The cable industry was not going to agree to these encoding rules unless they applied across the board. And both industries had an interest in ensuring that they applied across the board. The consumer electronics industry had an interest in that as well, because it helped ensure that there would be consistent performance and capability across the MVP industry with respect to these recording devices. Whereas if you had some MVPDs governed by encoding rules and some that weren't, you could have inconsistent understandings about what can and can't be copied. You could have situations where certain extreme copy protection measures like selectable output control could leave consumers with a blank screen when they turned on their television set. Obviously, the consumer electronics industry is trying to avoid that scenario. There's also the problem of using down resolution. That is a device by which you can remotely degrade the television picture. So someone who's bought a high-definition television set, if down resolution is used, would turn it on and would find a standard definition picture, not what they wanted when they spent a few hundred dollars for an HD TV.
The situation today, before the regulations, was I wasn't clear about that. Did satellite offer more copy protection than cable generally, or what?
My understanding, at least from what I've read in the record here, is that there were some greater copy protections being offered by the satellite industry. And I think it's also correct, as you noted, Judge Randolph, that at the time there were satellite devices, these converter boxes that were available on the retail market.
Yeah, the commission so
and
found.
Which is why you didn't have the satellite industry involved in these negotiations between cable and the consumer electronics industry.
The encoding rules applied to the satellites were not necessary to make satellite converter boxes commercially available.
But they were necessary to assure the commercial availability more broadly of home recording devices. And those home recording devices would not have been made by the consumer electronics manufacturers without these rules. And the cable industry would not have agreed to these rules without their application, not just to cable, but to all MVPDs. If the court has nothing further, I would ask the court to affirm the commission's decision. Thank you very much.
Mr. Michalopoulos, I think you had 16 seconds. We'll give you 2 minutes.
A few very brief points. First, to your question, Judge Randolph, about severability. We think that the encoding restrictions on satellite are absolutely severable. Indeed, the FCC has waived part of those rules for the MPAA. That resulted in nothing in terms of less manufacture of equipment and the like.
If they're not so tied together, if they're severable, then that really undercuts their position that unless they had the encoding rules for satellites, they wouldn't have had the plug and play for cable.
Yes, and the Consumer Electronics Association is not here to raise any such Damocles sword hanging over anybody's head. And indeed, in terms of what Section 629A means, it was not the consumer electronics industry that cared about the imposition of those rules on satellite carriers. It was cable that said, if you are to impose them, we want them imposed on our competitors as well. In fact, satellite boxes have been exempted from the competitive availability mandate of Section 629A in the first place. So satellite boxes and encoding restrictions for them were never an issue for the consumer electronics industry. It was the cable industry's insistence that if we are to be burdened with them, they should apply to our competitors.
Is there a rule or an order that exempts satellite boxes?
Yes. In 1998, when the FCC interpreted Section 629A in the first place, they said, whereas, of course, the authority is over all MVPDs, for DBS boxes, we'll make an exception for two reasons. They're nationwide anyway, so there's not a question of moving from one place to another and needing a different box. And secondly, they're available in retail stores anyway, so we don't need to require all those separation requirements of boxes.
Yeah, but that was 12 years ago?
In 98, yeah.
So it's a changed circumstance, and it's a new order now.
Right, but this continues to be the case. Another.
There's nothing on the books that says satellite cannot be covered by anything at 629.
It is subject to the jurisdiction of 629A, right. But as a factual matter, the boxes are not subject to the separation, and therefore the Consumer Electronics Association have no interest whatsoever in the encoding restrictions for satellite carriers.
But by separation, you mean the encoding is separate from the recording device?
Well, the separation is the cable conditional access card has to be separate from the box, and there has to be some encoding in the device as well. All of that regulatory regime is irrelevant for DBS boxes. It was irrelevant in 98. It remains irrelevant today. And the Consumer Electronics Association is not here, and when the FCC waived the prohibition of selectable output control for the MPAA, nothing happened in terms of any other rules, in terms of the DFAST license not being honored, in terms of equipment not being made.
Wait, you've been arguing this all along that this is catching me off guard anyway, I don't want my colleagues. Has this been part of this case, that you're excluded?
Well, it is in response to...
No. Has this been part of the case record, because I don't remember it.
Yes, I believe that there is, and I'm happy to find the reference in one of the briefs, perhaps the FCC's own brief, that does say that DBS boxes are excluded from the ambit of the Section 629A regulation.
And the Commission itself made it in its order, pointed out that you don't need the 629 authority for satellite boxes because they're already selling. I mean, one of the paragraphs of the order says it.
Precisely. And I would close by on the question of what does 629A mean.
But then wait, if that's the case, you're already there. That is where they want to be. Then what are you concerned about?
So the only thing that concerns us is those rules by which we still need to abide. Even though our boxes are separate, the encoding restrictions have nothing to do with boxes.
Yeah.
They were just a convenient add-on for the cable electronics, for the cable industry to impose on us. So we are still inflicted by the rules. So and the question arising by the rules is not whether copying will be further restricted for traditional fare. The question is nobody, no one distributor can show the new James Bond movie at the theatrical release date today. If satellite had more flexibility, because it has greater, to your question, Judge Randolph, technological capabilities to offer copy protection, that might become available by one distributor thanks to its technological acumen and the copy protection capabilities it offers the relevant Hollywood studio. That would be the only difference.
All right, counsel, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're going to do something we don't usually do and ask the FCC's counsel to return to the podium.
What are we talking about here on the exclusion of cable? I mean, make some sense of this in terms of this argument is catching me off guard in any event.
You're talking about the exclusion of DBS.
Yeah.
As I understand it, that was with respect to that particular set of rules concerning the separation of the security and non-security functions. This was an issue that was dealt with in the general instrument case that the court decided in 2000. That was the 1998 order. The commission found there with respect to DBS that there wasn't While Section 629 did apply to all MVPDs, there wasn't a need to apply it to DBS there because there already had been a separation of the security function, and they had begun selling these devices on the open market.
Okay. All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Stephanie, nice to meet you.